There is this very specific mental image I think most of us have when it comes to buying a house.
Oh yeah, the whole production of it.
Right, it's supposed to be this ultimate finish line. You are sitting in some conference room that usually smells like stale coffee.
Probably with a real estate agent hovering over your shoulder.
Exactly. And you sign your name until your hand actually starts cramping up on this absolute mountain of paperwork. Then they finally hand you the keys and you pop the champagne.
It is the classic American dream,
Yeah.
just, wrapped up in a 30-year contract.
It is. But here is the thing, and this is exactly what we are digging into today. Once that champagne is gone, what actually happens to that stack of paper?
Usually nothing good.
Right. You shove it in a filing cabinet or, let's be honest, a junk drawer somewhere, and you basically vow to never look at it again.
Which is such a mistake.
It becomes the ultimate set it and forget it bill. You just paid every single month and try very hard not to think about it.
And that is exactly where most people get it completely wrong. That set it and forget it mentality, it is actually incredibly costly.
And that is our mission for today's deep dive. We are looking at this really fascinating guide titled Home Loan Refinancing Benefits.
Published just recently, right?
Yeah, February 20, 2026, by Jet Direct Mortgage. And if I had to sort of summarize the big headline here, it is that treating your mortgage as a static object, something you just tolerate, is basically a failure of financial imagination.
It really is. And looking at the data they present in this guide, it is so clear that a mortgage is not supposed to be a fossil.
A fossil. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it is a living financial instrument. It is entirely designed to evolve as your life evolves.
There's this phrase in the text, financial optimization, that really jumped out at me. We aren't just talking about, day trading your house or chasing some slightly lower rate just because you saw a billboard on the highway.
No, not at all.
We are talking about a major strategic shift.
Right. Because in a world where we obsess over crypto or the stock market, we so often just ignore our biggest liability. This guide frames refinancing not as fixing a mistake you made in the past, but as active wealth preservation for the future.
It is a critical thinking skill.
Exactly. Understanding the life cycle of that debt is a critical thinking skill.
So let's actually start at ground zero here, because I think the terminology really trips people up. If you stopped a random person on the street and asked, "What is refinancing?"
They would probably just say, it is asking the bank to lower my payment.
Right, which is the common misconception. It feels like an edit. Like
Yeah.
you were just calling up customer service, crassing out a number on the contract, and penciling in a new one.
But the source material is very, very specific about the definition here. Refinancing is a total replacement. You are fully extinguishing the old loan.
Extinguishing. That sounds pretty dramatic.
It is technically distinct, and that distinction really matters. You are taking out a brand new loan with completely new terms. So new duration, new structure, new rules, and you use that to pay off the original balance entirely.
The old relationship is dead.
Long live the new relationship. Yes.
But why should you, the listener, care if it is an edit or a replacement? Does that actually change the math for you?
It changes your leverage. Think about it. If it were just an edit, you would be stuck within the original framework of the deal. Since it is a replacement, you get to completely reshape the obligation to fit your reality today.
You aren't beholden to the deal you signed 5 years ago.
Precisely.
And that brings us to the why.
Yeah.
The guide calls this the life cycle approach. I really like this concept because it acknowledges that the person I was 5 years ago is, well, financially speaking, a total stranger.
Life comes at you fast. The text explicitly lists these triggers. Careers advance, families grow, expenses shift. Just think about the profile of your average first-time home buyer.
Usually younger, maybe early in their career.
Right, and stretching absolutely every dollar just to get the keys.
Oh man, I remember that phase. The "please let me get approved, I promise I won't eat avocado toast ever again" phase.
Exactly. You're just trying to get your foot in the door. But fast forward 7 years. Maybe you are a dual-income household now. Maybe you have kids preparing for college.
Or looking at retirement.
Right. The financial instrument you signed 7 years ago was tailored for that younger, broke version of you.
It is like a financial suit. If you bought a suit 10 years ago and you have been working out, or let's be real, maybe eating a bit too well, that suit just doesn't fit anymore. Why are you still wearing it to work every day?
That is a spot-on analogy. The guide actually provides this great comparison table that drives this point home. It contrasts the existing mortgage with the refinanced mortgage.
Oh, let's break that down.
Sure. So the existing mortgage is defined in the text as static. It is fixed based entirely on old data.
It is a time capsule.
But the refinance mortgage is optimized for current goals. It catches up to who you are right now.
The one piece that really stood out to me in that table was the loan timeline. With an existing mortgage, you are basically just a passenger on the bus. If you have 22 years left, well, you have 22 years left.
You can't really change that without paying extra out of pocket every month.
Right. But with refinancing, the guide notes the timeline can be shortened or extended. You finally take the wheel.
You get to decide. You can say, I want to be debt free by 55. Or maybe I need to free up cash flow for the next 5 years while the kids are in daycare. You control the duration.
Okay, so let's open up the strategic toolbox the source talks about. It lists several motivations for doing this. And I kind of want to push back on a few of these because some seem super obvious, but others feel a bit risky to me.
Risky is good to explore. Let's unpack them.
The first one is pretty straightforward. Adjusting monthly payments. This is your classic, I need breathing room move.
Sure, it is about improving cash flow. Maybe your daily expenses have risen because inflation is a very real thing, or maybe your income took a temporary dip. Lowering the monthly obligation is definitely the most common trigger. It gives you immediate liquidity.
But then the text lists modifying loan lengths. And honestly, this is where I think people get tripped up. I feel like the common conventional wisdom is never extend your loan.
That is what we are all taught.
Right. If I have 20 years left and I refinance into a brand new 30-year loan, aren't I just paying a massive amount more in interest over the long haul?
That is the traditional view. And purely mathematically speaking, yes, you pay more total interest. But the expert insight in this guide is about matching the loan to the need. It is an exercise in opportunity cost.
How so? Walk me through that.
Okay, if extending the term lowers your mortgage payment by $600 a month and you take that $600 and invest it in a high-yield account or put it into a business or your child's education fund.
Oh, I see.
That return might be worth significantly more to you than the extra interest cost of the mortgage. It is about active cash flow management.
So it is essentially an arbitrage play.
It absolutely can be. Or on the flip side, the guide mentions shortening the term. If your career has really taken off, why would you pay 30 years of interest to a bank?
You wouldn't.
Right. You refinance into a 15-year term, you save an absolute fortune in total interest, and you own the home free and clear much, much sooner. That is the true wealth-building play.
Next up in the toolbox is stability. And this refers to getting out of an ARM, right? An adjustable rate mortgage.
Yes. If you bought your house with an ARM because that introductory rate was super juicy, but now those rates are starting to creep up, you are totally exposed to market volatility.
Which is terrifying for a household budget.
It is. So refinancing into a fixed rate locks in predictability. It takes the big what if right off your kitchen table.
Now, here is the big one, the controversial one, in my opinion, equity access. The guide talks about using accumulated home equity. This is the whole house as a piggy bank concept. But honestly, isn't this dangerous?
Treating your home like an ATM?
Yeah.
It requires extreme discipline, absolutely. But we have to be very careful with that piggy bank metaphor because it implies you are just spending savings on consumables. The source explains that equity is illiquid.
Right.
It is money that is effectively trapped inside your drywall and your floorboards.
And you can't spend your floorboards at the grocery store. I have tried.
Exactly. Refinancing allows you to unlock that trapped capital. Now, if you use it to buy a luxury car or a fancy vacation.
Terrible idea.
Very bad idea. That's depreciating. But the guide lists specific strategic uses, like funding a major renovation that increases the home's value even further. That is reinvesting directly in the asset.
Or paying for higher education.
Right. Or dealing with the very next point in the guide, which is simplification and debt consolidation.
This one really hit home for me.
Yeah.
We are talking about the sheer mental load of debt.
Think about the average household today. You have a mortgage, maybe two car payments, three different credit cards carrying 22% interest, and a personal loan.
You are juggling half a dozen due dates, different login portals, wildly different interest rates.
It is a complete logistical nightmare.
For sure.
Refinancing allows you to wrap all those high interest debts into the mortgage. Even if current mortgage rates are higher than we would ideally like, they are almost always drastically lower than credit card rates. So you blend it all into one single payment.
You simplify your life.
You simplify your life and you very likely lower your total monthly outflow.
But does it actually solve the root problem?
Yeah.
Or does it just kick the can down the road?
Well, it solves the mathematical problem of compounding high interest. It does not solve the behavioral problem.
Right.
If you pay off those credit cards with your equity and then immediately run them up again, you are in deep trouble. But as a purely financial tool for resetting your baseline, it is incredibly powerful.
So if you are listening to this right now and you are nodding along thinking, okay, maybe my financial suit really doesn't fit anymore, how do you actually know if you qualify? The guide gives us a really handy when to refinance checklist.
It does. And the very first indicator on that list is honestly the most important. Your financial profile has strengthened.
Which feels so counterintuitive to a lot of people. We are socially conditioned to ask for help only when we are really struggling. We think, I am broke. Please help me lower my payment.
That is human nature. But it is definitely not banking nature. Banking works completely in reverse. You get the very best terms when you fundamentally do not need them.
That is the paradox of credit.
Exactly. If your credit score has jumped 50 points since you first bought the house, or your income is higher and much more stable, you represent significantly less risk to the lender.
And less risk means cheaper money.
Precisely. That means you buying money should cost less. If you wait until you actually need the money because you lost your job, you probably won't get approved. You want to execute this move when things are going well.
Another key item on their checklist is you plan to stay in the home for several years.
This one is just pure math. Refinancing costs money. We will get to the specific fees in a minute, but it is not a free process.
Right.
If you spend $5,000 to refinance and it saves you $200 a month, but then you move in a year.
You lost money.
You lost a lot of money. You need a long enough runway in the house to actually recoup that upfront investment.
That is actually a perfect segue into the busting myths section of the guide. Because even when the math makes perfect sense, there's still so much fear around this topic.
Oh, absolutely.
The biggest one has to be the reset button fear. People think, oh no, I have paid 5 years into my 30-year loan. If I refinance now, am I back to year zero?
I hear this constantly from homeowners. It is a totally valid fear. But the text directly addresses this and clarifies it as a myth of passivity.
Meaning you only reset the 30-year clock if you actively choose to.
Right. If you have 25 years left on your current mortgage, you don't have to get a new 30-year loan. You can find a lender, like Jet Direct Mortgage, which is our source here, who can structure a 20-year term or even a completely custom term in some specific cases.
So you can choose to match your remaining schedule.
Yes. You are the architect of the timeline.
So you get the benefit of the lower rate or the better terms without taking the time penalty.
Exactly. You do not have to surrender the hard-earned progress you have already made.
The other big myth they tackle is the distress signal. The idea that if you are refinancing, it must mean you are broke or in some kind of financial trouble.
And the source completely flips that assumption on its head. It emphasizes that refinancing is very often triggered because the home value has actually increased.
Which is a good thing.
A great thing. If your home was worth $300,000 when you bought it, and now it is worth $450,000, your loan-to-value ratio is completely different. You own a much larger piece of the asset.
That is a sign of massive success. Not distress.
Exactly. And having more equity opens up much better tier pricing from the banks.
What about the timeline, though? I think people imagine this bureaucratic nightmare.
Yeah.
Digging through boxes in the basement for tax returns from 2018. Weeks of total silence from the bank.
The benchmark given in the source material is actually surprisingly efficient. They quote 30 to 45 days.
That seems really optimistic compared to some horror stories I've heard.
Well, it assumes you are reasonably organized with your paperwork, but generally, yes, the industry has sped up. It depends largely on how fast you can upload a PDF and how fast the appraiser can get out to the property. But it is certainly not an endless state of limbo anymore.
Okay, let's get really practical here. The guide actually outlines the mechanics, the specific process steps. I want to quickly walk through these so you, the listener, know exactly what the road ahead looks like. It lists five specific steps.
Step one is the initial review.
This is what I call the sanity check.
Right. Before you sign a single piece of paper, you look at your actual goals. Why are we doing this? Is it strictly for cash flow? Is it to pay the house off sooner? If you don't have a crystal clear why, do not proceed.
Step two is the application.
The paperwork phase. Income, assets, current debts. It is the standard financial autopsy.
Step three is property valuation.
This is a key hurdle. The bank needs to independently confirm the collateral. They need to know the house is actually worth what you think it is worth. This usually involves sending out an appraiser.
Step 4 is loan approval.
That is where the underwriter, the person who actually makes the final decision, reviews everything in the file and gives the official thumbs up.
And finally, step 5 is closing.
The new mortgage officially replaces the old one. The funds are dispersed, the old bank gets paid off, and your new terms instantly begin.
It sounds so simple when you list it out like that, but here is where I need you to be the voice of reason. What is the catch? The guide has an entire section called Critical Considerations. It isn't just all sunshine and magically lower rates.
No, it is not. And this is exactly where the critical thinking part of our mission really comes into play. Refinancing isn't free. The source explicitly warns readers to consider closing-related costs.
Things like origination fees, title insurance,
appraisal fees, recording taxes, it all adds up quickly.
So you really have to do the math.
You have to calculate what they call the break-even point. This is arguably the single most important metric in the entire process.
Walk us through that break-even point with some real numbers.
Okay, simple math. Let's say the act of refinancing costs you $4,000 in total closing fees, but the new loan saves you $200 a month on your payment. 4,000 divided by 200 is 20. It will take you exactly 20 months just to get your own money back.
So if you plan to relocate or sell the house in 18 months,
you absolutely should not do it. You are literally lighting money on fire. You have to be confident you will stay in the home past that break-even point to actually see any real financial benefit.
The source has this great quote, "Refinancing should enhance your financial position, not complicate it."
I love that quote, because if you are refinancing just to juggle debt, but you aren't fixing the underlying spending habits that caused the debt in the first place, you are just complicating your future. It has to be a genuine enhancement.
Now, there's a very specific nuance here for some of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
The guide features a section dedicated entirely to New York homeowners. Since Jet Direct Mortgage is headquartered in Bohemia, New York, they offer some highly specific insight here.
New York is definitely a unique beast in the mortgage world.
Unique is a very polite way to say expensive and incredibly complicated.
It really is. The source points out that New York has generally higher property values, which changes the loan limits. You get pushed into jumbo loan territory much faster there. But more importantly, there are very specific state regulations and complex closing customs.
It is definitely not a cookie cutter state for real estate.
Not at all. There is a specialized tax structure, the mortgage recording tax, for example, that just doesn't exist in most other places. If you use some generic national call center lender, they might completely miss those local details, and you would get very nasty, very expensive surprise at the closing table.
So local expertise isn't just a marketing buzzword. It is actual risk management.
Absolutely. A lender who really knows the Bohemia or broader Long Island market understands those specific compliance hurdles before they become problems.
Speaking of the source, let's give a little more context on who exactly is giving us this advice.
Yeah.
We mentioned Jet Direct Mortgage. They are based in New York, but looking at their footer, they aren't just local.
No, they serve a huge chunk of the country. Florida, California, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, the list goes on.
But what really stood out to me was the leadership mentioned in the guide. Peter Pescatore, the COO.
I saw that bio too. 26 plus years in banking.
Yeah, and he is listed as a direct endorsement underwriter and a licensed mortgage loan originator. Why did that specific title matter? Direct endorsement underwriter.
It matters immensely because underwriting is where the rubber meets the road. The underwriter is the ultimate gatekeeper. They are the ones who legally say yes or no to the money.
So having one in charge of operations is a big deal.
Huge. Having a COO who is actually an underwriter means the leadership deeply understands the actual mechanics of approval. They know how to structure a complex loan to get a yes rather than just being a sales guy who promises the moon and then can't deliver because the file is messy.
It adds a serious layer of operational credibility.
It does. And they balance that deep old school expertise with modern tech. They specifically mention Jet Direct Mobile in the text.
The smartphone app.
Right. Which connects directly back to that 30 to 45 day closing window we talked about earlier. The reason the process is faster now is because you can upload your sensitive documents securely through an app rather than driving them across town to a bank branch or hunting down a fax machine.
So it is really the blend of the human element, experienced people like Pescatore, and the sheer efficiency of the tech.
That is the modern mortgage landscape in a nutshell.
So let's bring this all home. We have covered the what, the why, the myths, and the actual math. The source basically tells us that a mortgage is not a set it and forget it bill.
No, it is a tool. And like any tool, a saw, a drill, it needs to be used correctly. If you just leave it out in the shed to rust, it doesn't help you build anything.
I really like that. Refinancing is a strategic checkpoint. It stops you from just drifting along and forces you to actually steer the ship.
It forces you to look seriously at wealth preservation. It makes you sit down and ask, is my money working as hard as I am?
So for the listener who is maybe staring at their ceiling tonight, wondering about their own finances, what is the immediate action item here?
The action item is to go open that junk drawer, dig out the original paperwork, look at your current interest rate, look at your remaining term, and look at your home's estimated current value.
And ask yourself the hard question.
Ask yourself if that five-year-old contract represents the absolute best deal for the person you are right now.
That actually leads perfectly into my final thought, something I want to leave everyone with today. It is a question that really struck me while reading through this text. If your career has advanced, your family size has changed, and your financial goals have totally shifted in the last 5 years, why are you still paying for the life you had 5 years ago?
That is the question.
It really is. Thanks for diving deep with us into your financial literacy today.
Thanks for joining the conversation.
We will see you on the next Deep Dive.